It is Saturday, December 6, 2008, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Today on GeekSpeak, Geek News, and in the second half, we'll be talking about FreeCycle. That's taking the stuff around your house you don't need and giving it to your community members.
The bandwidth for GeekSpeak.org is provided by GNI, GNIHosting.com. Hi, this is Lyle Troxell of GeekSpeak, the host. I want to let you know that this week's episode of GeekSpeak took place during a pledge drive. We stopped four times during the one-hour program to ask for people, the listeners, to donate to KOSP to help keep KOSP on the air. And the pledge drive did succeed. We made our $15,000 goal for the entire 4 days, which is wonderful. The phone numbers are no longer being manned, so I yanked most of that information from the podcast. Just kind of cleaned up the podcast, made it more like a standard GeekSpeak episode with a lot of geek news and our guests as well. In any case, I think the show is really good. It's been cut out a little bit. I don't normally edit the show a lot, and therefore it might be kind of choppy. So forgive the editing and enjoy the episode. And if you do feel like donating KOSP, go online, kosp.org, and donate there. And if you do that, send me an email so I know that you did. My email is lyle@geekspeak.org. Also, if you want to dig us, you know, I mean, going to dig.com and making an account and all that and say that GeekSpeak is cool, that'd be awesome. And of course, any reviews and rankings and stuff on iTunes is nice. And let friends know they're doing podcasts that you listen to GeekSpeak. We'd love to grow our audience even more. Welcome to GeekSpeak. My name is Lyle Troxell. The geeks today are Miles Elam.
Good morning.
And Sean Cleveland. How's it going, Sean?
Good morning.
And, of course, Ben Jaffe. Hi, Ben.
Good morning.
Well, let's start the geek news. Sean, I think we'll start with you, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that Forrest J. Ackerman, known as the High Elder of for fantasy fans and science fiction nuts, died at 92. People called him, and people like Steven Spielberg and Stephen King called him the world's biggest science fiction fan. He actually coined the term sci-fi. I guess back in 1953, when he was driving in the car with his wife, he was listening to the radio, and he heard the announcer say hi-fi, and the word sci-fi came out of his mouth right away.
Very cool.
And that's how it happened. But
well, the sci-fi community, of course, will miss him.
But we have a link to a story in the New York Times at our site. You should go read it. It's a really good story.
All right. Tech news. Ben, go for it.
Yeah, NFL broadcast their first football game in 3D to theaters across the country on Thursday night. It's kind of a neat idea. I mean, we've seen video games in 3D. We've seen those whole immersive experiences where you have the moving capsule that you sit in and you've got the 3D in front of you and everything. But this is, as far as I know, this is certainly the first football game broadcast in 3D. And apparently it wasn't without its glitches. A couple of satellite glitches blacked out the broadcast for the whole first half to Boston, New York, and Los Angeles.
How many theaters actually were equipped to do this? Or how many theaters?
I'm not sure how many. But
three cities didn't get it.
Three of the cities didn't get the first half. It was between the Raiders and the Chargers.
See, I don't understand how you can set up a movie theater to really be appropriate. You've got to have, lean back on the couch and you pull up your pants to show your belly. You've got to have a beer in your hand and there's got to be chips on the table. So where is
yeah,
that
but you,
do they move
you don't
chairs
have,
to get the coffee table?
You don't have two projectors with polarizing filters in your living room, right?
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, This is you. Yes, that's right. apparently, people who attended the screenings said that at some points it was just absolutely amazing, but there are some things that don't work. I mean, there was a cross dissolve that apparently just messed with everyone. Yeah, I mean,
so
you can't crossfade between being in one location and another
okay,
one.
So
you know?
Mostly what's interesting about a 3D movie and such is that when the character's actually close to the screen, but if it's just the normal NFL where you've got to zoom from far away, are they dealing with, like, massive perception, like the cameras are 15 feet apart or something?
Because
you're zooming like 600 feet to get to these people's faces.
Oh, well, yes, but I mean, but you're also dealing with more macro 3D than you know, things that you experience. So, for example, like, you know, the quarterback passes a ball and it's a long pass. This ball is way in front of everything else behind it.
That's
the entire stadium. So maybe the stadium may appear relatively flat, but the ball is sailing
right,
out of the screen.
The person's face might feel kind of flat, but the players will feel
And then similar, like the opening coin toss as well, apparently was pretty spectacular. So,
all right,
but I don't know. It's pretty cool. It says in the article 2%
of the pre-render the coin toss. Come on,
God.
Okay. Anyway, what were you
saying? If anyone doesn't get that, go back. What was a month and a half? The Olympic show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Miles. Your turn, man.
The Committee to Protect Journalists, an organization that watches jailed journalists around the world. Mm-hmm. It is an issue because whenever there's something to talk about, it's best that people know about it. And the way they know about it is by journalist efforts. This is the first year that the number of journalists jailed have been related to the online world. They've been bloggers. They've been online publishers, online editors.
What, you mean bloggers go to jail?
Yes, bloggers can go to jail. And apparently they do. Now, Ben brought up a very good point before the show, which was there's a total of 125 journalists in there. So that's a relatively small amount. So the amount of variation there is going to be large from year to year. However, it's still significant that it's no longer the person handing out leaflets, per se.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that are in the comfort of their own home are publishing and then having repercussions as a result of that.
Right.
And as a result of that, you have companies such as Yahoo, Microsoft, Google, among others, getting together and pledging that they're going to help with the effort to reduce violence against journalists. These are three companies that have had issues with it in the past.
Why are they motivated to help that? And that's not really their business model. I mean, why are they doing that?
Well, for Google, it is. For Google, they have the do no evil mantra. But it's also an issue of when you are a member of this world, you have a certain responsibility.
All right. Well, thank you much, Miles, for that. Can you get that on the site, too? Mr. Cleveland, you're up, sir.
NASA has postponed the launch of their giant Mars robotic mission until 2011.
Why?
You recall that this was going to be the SUV-sized rock zapping laser
laser
all-terrain vehicle.
So a
number of things have happened, and they just can't seem to get the technical glitches resolved in time for the launch.
I hope it wasn't in part due to us teasing them about putting an SUV on Mars.
No. Okay, actually, it has to do with brakes sticking in cold conditions, the amount of motors and servos required for this vehicle to exist on Mars and to use its arm effectively. The big problem is that Mars and Earth are only close enough to launch a probe. We're only close enough every 26 months. The next opportunity is next September and October.
And gas prices might have gone up by then. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
So they're going to have to wait till 2011 before they can launch.
That's the next window that will really
And this is actually the first time that NASA has missed a Mars window.
Well, it's probably a good idea to miss it rather than have a broken craft.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for that kind of depressing, but... informative information. Mr. Jaffe, how's it going, Ben?
Hi. I don't think we've talked about this. It's not new news, but I just read a bunch about it. This thing called the Life Straw, which is for waterborne bacteria and viruses if you want to filter out.
Oh, you said Life Straw?
The Life Straw, yeah.
Okay.
One word. It's pretty cool. There are a few different of these out there. But I was just reading about this one, and it removes waterborne bacteria and viruses.
It's a straw.
And so, yeah, instead of buying a water filtration system and filtering into a jug or something and then drinking from the jug, you can literally just, you know, lean out of your canoe and suck up the water through this straw, and it'll be purified once it gets there.
Usually the water's not level, though. I can see this thing hitting, the water's hitting you in the face as you're trying to...
Yeah, how about inside the canoe, the stuff that kind of matches
It doesn't filter out salt, so you wouldn't be doing this in the ocean. So
yeah,
like
bad,
most rivers, unless you wouldn't want to do it in
Could
rapids.
Could you stick it into somebody's neck and start drinking, or is that
I don't
that
think it filters
form?
Blood into
well,
water,
that
no.
That and we're highly salty.
Oh, we are.
It's amazing where
if
that...
If you're a vampire, you may want to just forgo the straw.
Nice. It's amazing where that technology has gone to. When Maggie and I backpacked on our honeymoon, we had a filtration system, and you could drop it in the most vile water and pump out crystal clear water. It's amazing.
It's pretty incredible.
It's good for 700 liters.
That's a lot of sucking.
And it's... Yeah, it's true. It's
How big
true,
is this thing? It's like a little straw?
It's the length of a straw, and it's
thicker.
It's quite a bit thicker, yeah.
We got a picture, right? We can post on the website.
It's like a cigar. Yeah, it's like a cigar. I never thought of it in that context. When you see these pictures on the website, if you think of it as a cigar, it just looks really funny.
These little kids drinking water through a straw. Yeah. Well, it's blue and fancy. Any case, the Life Straw. That's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's pretty cool.
It's great for places in other
places. And just in general, that technology is just amazing.
Of course. Let's go to the next news story. I think, Miles, I believe it's your turn, actually.
Yes, it is.
What do you got for us?
Some researchers at the University of Geneva in Switzerland have created what appears to be the world's first superconducting transistor. A long-standing goal for applied physicists.
Whoa, whoa. Okay, so this means a superconductor means you lose almost no wasted energy
with
the transmission electricity. And it has those really cool properties of causing really neat magnetic effects.
Right. So and so we're also talking about field effect transistors.
Yeah.
So that's where you're going to get your ones and zeros when you're working with gates and computers.
The basic core of how microprocessors work and memory works and all that.
Right. And so what you'll have is you'll have this electrical impulse. If you put an electrical source onto a transistor, then you're going to either allow current along the gate or disallow it.
Open
or stop
or close.
It.
Right, a switch.
And so what they're talking about is that spot when the voltage is going through the transistor in the one spot,
mm-hmm.
we have a one or a zero,
mm-hmm.
then that's going to be superconducting.
Whoa.
So that your source and your
there's no loss, basically. Effectively no loss between the source and the base. What's the
right, your source and your drain.
Yeah,
your source and your drain. Yeah, you have basically no loss, which, and that's one of the issues with field effect transistors, is that one of the limits to them is that when you put this current through there, you're causing
you're
heat.
Energy. Yeah. And the reason why we
because
have...
And they burn out.
Because the leakage currently in superconducting, well, not superconductors, but in transistors, at really small levels, a lot of the energy that's passed between the transistors is lost.
And, that
and that's where the
heat
comes
from.
Right. Yeah.
So if we had superconductor transistors, you'd basically have a lot less heat loss.
Yeah.
Awesome.
They would be much faster.
Well, less heat loss, so you end up being able to go much faster, and presumably they would last longer.
Right. Very cool.
So you could probably make your layers even smaller.
What group did this?
This is a group with the University of Geneva in Switzerland.
Awesome. First superconducting transistor. Awesome. Thank you, Miles. Mr. Cleveland, howdy.
So MIT has some really interesting research. A team of physicists and engineers have been working on ways to squeeze more efficiency out of solar cells. And they've actually come up with a way to boost efficiency by as much as 50%.
Whoa, on a solar cell?
Didn't expect that, huh? So what they've worked with is...
I don't know. I kind of did, just because there's a solar maximum. There's 50% relative to what we can do now.
Miles.
No, I'm just saying.
I know, but if it's I'm only 12% effective and now it's 24% effective, that's pretty awesome.
Yes, that well, that's
Miles,
not
Miles is all in this
rate.
Whole negative thing about the sun. It's like the sun only can produce
this
much
energy. Oh, I am so not.
You are
not
so negative, Nancy. Sean, go ahead.
We just need to make our planet bigger.
That's
so we
right.
Can absorb
or closer to the sun.
Sunlight.
Would that make you happy, Miles, if we just move the sun closer?
So they worked on modeling to determine the best way to get to absorb light. And currently, with a lot of these solar cells, light hits it and then reflects off of it. And, of course, that's lost efficiency right there.
Mm-hmm.
So they've come up with coatings and ways of lining up the actual the cells themselves so that when the light goes through the first layer, it bounces in there and it's being absorbed onto the solar cell. It's given more time for the light to absorb. And through this method, they've reached 50% efficiency, 50% more efficiency than they did before.
So 50% would be, instead of a little more than 1 kilowatt per square meter, that 50% efficiency means they're getting up to, like, say, half a kilowatt per square meter.
I don't think they're at that phase yet. I think that they've come up with a method for increasing efficiency, and they're probably going to start building these things next to see how well they work.
And of course, the next question has always been with solar technology is that the envelope of how good you can get is always the most expensive thing, and the cheaper ones to make aren't nearly as effective. So the things you buy, in kids' toys and stuff, those are actually extremely cheap, but they're not actually very efficient. They don't do a very good job of transferring.
Sun. You're talking like 50 watts per square meter.
Yeah,
or less.
Something pretty bad. But in any case, the idea of taking that technology to the next step—that's that's what we're always talking about of kind of solving our fossil fuel problems is that we need to get more efficient with solar systems. So very cool. Thank you, Mr. Cleveland.
We'll post the story if people are interested.
I just want to do
MIT's website.
I just want a quick thank you to Judith, who donated to KUSP. Judith appreciates Dr. Dawn, and she donated to Santa Cruz and San Benito food banks. And so if you'd like to join Judith, please donate right now, 888-777-1507. We'll be asking you again in just a minute, but please feel free to do so right now. Next news story, I think it's Ben's turn.
I've got two quick things. The first is Logitech has produced its billionth mouse. And I mean, in this day and age, we're always talking about gigabytes, which is billion bits and or bytes, excuse me. But very rarely do we ever really see a billion physical things you can hold in your hand. I mean, these are a billion computer mouses.
If it's a computer mouse, it's computer mouses.
A billion computer mouses. That's amazing. That's a lot of mouses. I feel wrong saying that.
That's too many mouses.
That's too many. Well, I don't know.
Yeah. How many mouses do you have, Miles?
Currently, mm-hmm. I have two or three like lying around. I only use one.
I really like saying plural mouses. I think that's...
I have a couple million.
Everybody just cringing whenever I say
it. I think we should follow Tom and Jerry's lead and call them Mises.
The Mises.
I'll call them Mises. You Mises. You can say mouse. You can say mouse.
Mises.
Let's call the
Mises?
Whole thing off.
Mises.
You know, you love
Mises.
Mises,
Mises, Mises mouses, Mises. And then the other quick news story is the ACID-3 test. And the ACID-3 test is a test page from the Web Standards Project. And it checks how well a browser follows certain web standards. Mm-hmm. And
they have ACID-3.
And then it gives it a rating, right? Is that a rating or is that 100 tests?
It's 100 tests, kind of. I don't know. But anyway, there are
100 tests. And if you've passed or not, you get a rating on that test. So basically what we're talking about is web pages have very complicated services behind them to display the text, and we're talking about CSS basically. So a while ago,
ACID 2 was about CSS. That was about rendering. Oh. ACID 3 is about animations, transforms,
and rendering. Though all of it,
rendering doesn't hold as much of an issue.
Okay, so what we're talking about is when you visit a web page, depending on what kind of browser you use, if all of them were ACID compliant, ACID 2 and ACID 3 compliant, they'd all do exactly the same thing. Right now, none of them actually do the same thing exactly.
Well, they do for ACID 2, except for Internet Explorer. Yeah,
ACID 2, well, with ACID 2, what we saw was we saw all of these people making these web browsers clamoring to be the first one
to properly display
the ACID 2 test page. And we're seeing kind of the same thing. And currently we have... The WebKit, the nightly builds of WebKit renders ACID 3 correctly.
Engine,
yeah. Which is the engine behind
Safari.
Let's
just get to the really interesting news then.
Opera 10.
Opera gives a what score?
Well, the nightly builds of WebKit and Opera 10 Alpha 1 both do get 100%.
Nice. And what? Firefox, how close is Firefox?
How many people use WebKit?
The nightly build of Firefox is 93 out of 100
Here's the thing, though. This is the nightly build. This is the people that are like developers and interested. These are the geeks that are getting the most recent browsers.
Like you compile it tonight tomorrow. Yeah.
I have a WebKit from like 2 months ago. I don't have the most recent.
So what about Internet 7.0? That's what most people use, right?
Yeah, I believe Internet Explorer 7 has something like a 23.
No. You can barely read it. I think that's a 14.
14 out of 100.
But it's completely messed. I don't know.
And IE Beta 2 is a 21 out of 100.
Well, we'll put the link up, but the Wikipedia page has screenshots of all of these different browsers and up to
Safari 75 out of 100.
That's the current Safari that's being released.
Safari 3.2.1, yeah.
To the life, to everybody. All right, well, thank you, Ben, for the ACID web browser update. Oh, man.
Test page.
Mr. Cleveland, I'm going to go to you, sir. Test page.
Well, according to Millward Brown Optimore, their company's brand consulting arm, Google has surpassed Microsoft as the most powerful brand. Take it as you will.
Is that kind of like Variety magazine's the top 100 most influential people in Hollywood? Like how do they measure that? How do you?
Well, they say they measure it. It's based on the company's intangible earnings, a metric derived from public financial data supplied by Bloomberg Data Monitor.
Kind of good as you can get on judging it. So Google's actually more popular than Microsoft now.
Yeah, they put Google at number one, Microsoft at number two, Coca-Cola at number three, China Mobile at number four.
Whoa, Coca-Cola went down.
Yeah, Marlboro at number five, Walmart, then Citigroup, then IBM, and then Toyota.
All right, that's pretty interesting. You're listening to KUSP. This is Geek Speak. In the Arum with me, I have geeks Miles Elam, Sean Cleveland, Ben Jaffe, and our guest we will be speaking with in just one moment is Carrie Hallbeck. And Carrie is a volunteer for Freecycle Group in Santa Cruz, but she actually has some history with Freecycle in general. Freecycle is a web service or web group that allows you to take stuff you don't need and give it away. Have you ever pulled out a toilet from your house and replaced it with a new one, right? You've got this other toilet, it's in your yard. You're like, what do you do with it? Well, don't throw it away. You could take it to the dump, of course. But instead, you post it a little message. You talk about it on the message board, and somebody else that needs it comes and gets it. Pretty cool idea of reuse instead of throwing things away, and we'll be talking with her in just a little bit. Today's program, we're doing a pledge drive. We've been doing it for a couple days, and we're asking you to participate in helping KUSP become strong and a vital part of your community. And it actually is a vital part of communities. I kind of think of two different groups or two different kinds of ways to participate in making your community strong. One is, of course, to donate to help pay for services for people that you may need. We do that with taxes and such as well. And the idea generally is that we're going to give things to people when they really need them at the moment they need them. And food's a good example of that. And of course, everyone is very familiar with the food banks of Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito. And this idea that once a year we all get together and put food into pails and we distribute that service is a very important service to the community. The other really important service in the community that I feel very strongly about being a public radio person is the idea of sharing information. And we do that every week on GeekSpeak. And of course, KUSP does that 24/7. We give you information about how your community operates. We do outreach for you. And doing that, of course, costs a lot of money and it's very difficult. It's a lot of volunteer time. All the geeks today, everybody here on GeekSpeak is volunteer. We don't get paid for this. We volunteer our time because we think it's important to support our community.
Eli, we've been doing this 8 years.
8 years.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
How much have we made?
For ourselves?
Yeah.
Nothing. But it's a very enriching experience
supporting
our community.
We love doing this.
Sean, get some thank yous?
Yeah. Well, you know, Don says he loves Geek Speak and the work we do with Cabrillo Festival and Democracy Now!
Great.
We also heard from Charles, who's waiting to hear a review of Windows 7. Which doesn't come until Christmas next year, but it is running on systems.
Have you seen it yet?
I can't say.
Okay.
But as soon as we can talk about it, we will. And I want to say thank you to Nana at Blue Shark Design. Thank you for your pledge. We really appreciate it.
And right now, we are taking matching pledges from John Morrison. There's still money left. Please feel free to give us a call, and we'll match dollar for dollar.
And in a recent study, the United Way found that residents are feeling the impact of economic downturn with homes losing value and median incomes declining. It's not really news. People realized there was a recession before it was officially announced. However, what they may find surprising was that giving to nonprofits is increasing, which means that people in our community seem to care about each other's. During a downturn, they give more. It's one of the reasons our community is a great place to live. And right now, we have a challenge of $500. So when you pledge during this hour, your dollar gets doubled. And so far, we only have $135. We want to get $365 more at least during the show. So please call in and give your pledge. Because during the times of economic uncertainty, news and music are more important than ever. Call now.
And first, you call 888-777-1507. And a friendly volunteer will answer the phone. They'll ask you, in lieu of a premium, would you like KUSP to contribute to a food bank? Now, if you say no, the full value goes to KUSP. If you say yes, you'll be asked if you want to contribute to the Second Harvest Food Bank for Santa Cruz or San Benito Counties or Food Bank for Monterey County. Once you've chosen a food bank, they get 10% of the value of your contribution to KUSP. And you get to support the station you listen to and help distribute food to a neighbor. But first, you have to call. So please call 888-777-1507 or visit KUSP.org. That's 888-777-1507.
We structured today's GeekSpeak show to fit around this idea of community service and community participation. And we invited Carrie Halbrecht, and Carrie's here joining the Geeks. Carrie is a volunteer for the FreeCycle group in Santa Cruz. FreeCycle is a wonderful service that allows you to get rid of stuff you don't want, find stuff you do want, and it's all free. The idea being is that if you're going to take it to the dump, don't do that. Instead, try to reuse it by posting a thing. Quickly about Carrie. Carrie is actually the owner of the Jury Room, a kind of dive bar in Santa Cruz. No offense, Carrie. And also, she's a member of a spare time. She does FreeCycle. She does Free Mesa. She's also an Aptos Academy volunteer. I do auction and school functions of that stuff. And of course, Carrie is also a mother. In any case, thank you, Carrie, for joining us on GeekSpeak today.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. So, Carrie, the program, the FreeCycle service, which I'm familiar with through friends, but recently started using. It's pretty cool. Can you describe kind of how it works?
Well, if you have something that you don't need, what you do is you log on and you say offer and then the item.
So you just post the item information within the subject line, basically.
Correct.
And at that point, what happens?
At that point, it will, if you're a new member, it will go into my moderation box and I will make sure that you've put offer there and that you don't have your address and you don't have your phone number for security purposes.
So you kind of just make sure that the public space stays safe for people.
Yes.
Okay. And of course also that people aren't posting stuff about Viagra and free watches and things like that.
Correct.
Right, right. So you're kind of cleaning up the service, so it's pretty clean. So I go and let's see, what did I recently give away? I got some furniture in my yard that I pulled out of a shed recently. It's a desk thing and I don't really need it anymore. And I could throw it away or I could break it down for wood, try to burn it or something, but I can't. It's particle board. So instead I go up on the site and I say offer, particle board, desk, and drawer.
Correct.
And that's it.
Yep.
And then I hit enter. You and I'm already a member now, so you've already approved me. Thank you very much, by the way. And that gets listed. How many people see that? How many people can see that?
Around 3,700, I believe, is our.
And those are all people in the Santa Cruz County area right now, right?
Some of them are actually outside of the county, mm-hmm. and they may travel here or they have relatives here.
They feel good enough to participate in the community because they're kind of remote, but they're participating.
Yes.
And so then somebody in that group, maybe one, maybe 50, will say, I want it. And they send me an email. I mean, how do they communicate with
me? Yes. They will send you an email and they will say, hopefully, they will say, hey, that sounds really great.
Right. And not, I don't want that. That's garbage. Right.
Right. And I could pick it up on Wednesday after 5. And so here's
my
phone number.
So they're going to handle the whole communication with me, or the two people handle each other, and you're stepped out of it.
Yep.
You're done.
Yep.
And then once I go pick it up, if I want to be kind to the group, I post a taken furniture.
Correct. Well, actually, to be kind to yourself.
Kind to yourself. Oh, so people stop talking to me.
Correct.
Stop asking me for the thing. Okay. So how it's 3,000 people about right now in the Santa Cruz. And there's one. These things exist everywhere. They're in San Bernardino
all over
County,
the world.
In Monterey, and all over the place.
Yes.
How many members, worldwide are part of FreeCycle? Do you know?
Millions. I believe it's over 7 million now.
Wow. But it's all community-based. It's all focused around a certain smaller group.
Yes.
Basically, the idea is the driving distance, because you don't really want to drive to Alabama to pick up a desk.
Correct.
Right. The other thing that I'm how fast is it growing? How many people join? Because I just joined last week, so some people must be coming aboard still.
We get about 200 members a month.
Wow. How much of that is spam? Or don't count the spam?
We don't count the spam. That's how many people have actually joined and responded to the letter that we sent out.
Now, Miles, you recently tore down a metal shed in your house, mm-hmm. In your backyard, and had a shed roof. Did that go through FreeCycle, or was that a little more closer to home?
That was closer to home. That was Maggie coming by with a pickup truck and hauling it off.
So the cool thing is I went over to the person's house that you donated that to, actually, and he's got a whole chicken coop that he's made with friends. And besides the roof, everything else has come from FreeCycle, except for a few things that they actually had to buy. Wood and boards and windows, all FreeCycle items. He's kind of a superhero of FreeCycle. And I was kind of blown away that, and I was thinking about it, I've done construction stuff and pulled out a window and not know what to do with it, and it sat in my house for a long time until I moved and I finally got rid of it at a garage sale. But that time of it sitting around, or maybe I threw it away, the idea that now it doesn't have to sit around, it can actually be reused right away, seems really in line with our whole GeekSpeak practice of try to reuse your stuff. So anyway, I got kind of excited about seeing that shed, and so I started using it, and sure enough, it's pretty functional.
It makes me think of all the computers we've had sitting around over the years.
E-waste is a big...
big problem.
That's something else that I...
What else do you do?
There's a group that I've been working with. It's in San Jose, but they do fundraisers over in Santa Cruz County, mm-hmm. and we've used it. And I believe it's EarthCycle.
Earth Cycle? Okay.
I have the...
Yeah, earthrecycling.com.
Right.
I'll post this information up on the website.
Great. And it's they keep everything in the U.S., and nothing goes into the landfill.
Really?
That's nice.
Yes. And so, they have it all documented, so you know...
So you know it doesn't.
Yes.
Wow, very cool.
Yes. And they do fundraisers. So if your school needs to make some money, they come out, you do nothing.
So, okay, here's a little bit of a problem. The geeks here, we all have, probably all have some PS2 to, what's the larger old?
Oh, AT style.
AT style PS2. We've actually had people call up the show and said, I need a connector for my keyboard because it doesn't fit my computer. But these little adapters, power supplies, USB cords that we don't necessarily need, I can't just post that on the board because that's ridiculous. You don't want to drive for that. So is there a way that I can say, I got a whole bunch of electronic stuff and I want to like get like a free cycle garage sale kind of thing going on?
Yes, we do. There are numerous ways you could do that. We have, you could do a personal free for all, which would be, hey, it's an after garage sale. I have my driveway lined with stuff. I'm not going to list everything, but you can come by and take anything you want. And we're okay with that.
Do people ever take pictures and post pictures up on there?
They do. They do post pictures in the Yahoo group.
Okay.
There's a photo section.
So for this, for like a yard sale that you're done with and you've still got stuff in the yard, you can take a photo of it, post it and say, yard sale, stuff's here. And of course, you're just going to put a sign out on your driveway that says free.
Right.
And so now you're also telling 3,000 people in your community that come by and get
yes.
it.
Yes.
How much do you use this in your personal life?
I respond to wanteds more than offers.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because to offer something, you then have to deal with all the people saying they want it and then arranging a time and all of that and having to figure out when they're going to come and get it.
So you look at the board, someone posts a wanted, all caps, wanted something, and if you have it, you give it?
Yes. Well, if I can.
Right.
I mean, if it's my only computer, I'm not going to give them my
wanted
computer.
Wanted car. You're not going to
give them. We have given away a car.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
We gave away an old Mazda 323, I believe it was.
One of the things that's really interesting is that sometimes there's this perceived idea of guilt with donations. Like, I'm going to donate because I feel bad about what that person needs and stuff. But this group really specifically, don't talk about why you need it or why you want to get rid of it. Just tell us what it is and if you want it or not. And that's it.
Right.
And I like that attribute of it because it would concern me if it was too much of a pleading kind of thing.
Right. One of the best things that I've heard that people have received is space.
Space for storing stuff?
No. Space because they've got rid of stuff.
Ah, I see. You give something out away and then you've got space.
My husband loves it when people show up from FreeCycle.
He's like, you want anything else?
Yes.
I live in a floodplain, so getting rid of stuff is really quite important. Anybody else here use FreeCycle? Any of the geeks?
My girlfriend has, but I have not as yet.
So your house is full of FreeCycle?
At the same time, recently, I'm like, okay, I have these extra computers, and Ben Jaffe, other geek, was so kind as to take them off my hands, and lo and behold, I have a whole bunch of extra space to stuff my stuff.
So how does that work? If they get the computer and it doesn't work, is it no big deal because it was free?
Well, it all depends. Sometimes it could be broken in transit, and there's no one to really complain to. Hopefully the person who's listing it is truthful. And generally they are in Santa Cruz. They will say, this computer's been sitting around for 2 years. I don't know if it works.
We're speaking with Carrie Halbrecht today. Carrie is a volunteer for FreeCycle. She's done it nationally, but right now she's spending quite a bit of time being online, helping people give and receive stuff for free. And the idea behind it, of course, is not to be such a wasteful society by throwing things away. I hear from people all the time, Carrie, that want to clean up their life a little bit, and they feel overburdened, and they just go, and they just take stuff to the dump and just get rid of it. And I get that impulse, you know, that makes sense. But instead of getting to that level, I'm thinking that maybe spending time every once in a while just getting rid of a few things on FreeCycle and handling a bit of meeting somebody new, because of course you're going to meet somebody new with doing this. The thing that you mentioned earlier of this idea of like getting together and a whole bunch of people bring their stuff in one place, like a FreeCycle flea market thing.
We call them a free-for-all, yes.
Free-for-all. How often do those get organized?
At first we did them once a year, and then there was huge outcry because they wanted them more often. Now it's about every 2 months, depending on the weather. And we either have them in Scotts Valley or Aptos at Aptos Academy.
And so are they pretty successfully, like a lot of people come?
Oh, they're wonderful. People will drive up in a truck full of stuff and everybody will run to help them unload because, of course, they want to see what's in the truck. And sometimes it just goes from truck to truck. It doesn't even make it out.
But what about the extra stuff nobody wanted?
The extra stuff that nobody wants, I have a storage unit and we put some of it in storage. The clothes go to CASA. Furniture that's in good shape, there's a furniture section associated with CASA, and they come and pick up the furniture.
And CASA is a community organization that gives – that. What does it do? You don't know a lot about that. It's okay. You know a lot about
it. I don't know a lot about it.
What, you mentioned – we've mentioned Free Mesa, I believe, a little bit today.
Yes.
What is Free Mesa?
Free Mesa is similar to Free Cycle, except that it is not individual groups. It is one large organization, and you join and put your zip code in.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get messages based on where you live.
So it's a little more organized than a Yahoo group.
Yes.
In a sense. You kind of understand. It's better web service, if you will.
Yes. Also, there's no local rules you have to deal with. With Free Cycle, every group, you might not be approved to get in the group, mm-hmm. which is one problem we have at Santa Cruz. Because of a strange structure in Yahoo groups, we have to approve the members.
Mm-hmm.
So other groups may not approve you.
Right.
So you might move to an area and you may not be allowed to use the Free Cycle.
That's a little ridiculous, I guess.
It is ridiculous.
So what you do in that situation, I guess you'd go to one of the Free Cycle days and say, by the way, I'm a good person. I'm not a spammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make sure the geeks, we didn't have a geek news story that was kind of, you wanted to hit because we kind of cut the news a little quick today. We have one more story that one of you guys want to handle? Think about that for a second. Let me ask Carrie another question. Carrie, you run a bar in Santa Cruz.
Yes.
So you're a business person as well. How does being a business person and a community person match for you?
Well, I think it's great because anytime we do any remodeling, we then get to offer the items out
okay.
on Free Cycle.
But as a business person, you do your business to get money, right?
Yes.
So, but this, why do you give or why do you help people give?
Well, actually, the best thing I think of with Free Cycle is the people and the whole sense of community. And if I don't need something and somebody else does need it, I really think that I should give it to them. That's, you know, forget the reuse and mm-hmm. the recycling and all the good it does for the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just helping other people. And it's a community. And that's...
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really what, to me, it's all about.
You ever use Craigslist? A little more
no.
popular? No. Why
no.
not?
There's so many people on it.
Uh-huh.
And you just, if we have found that offering, or we have people who have done things on Craigslist, and you get many more people from over the hill
uh-huh.
that come over just for the, quote, good items. And it's not really as much of a community.
So this, because it's centralized around a smaller group of area, then you feel like, you know, I mean, for example, the people that are participating live down the street or near your work. I mean, they're close to you. You
yes.
might not know them, but they're close to you. Do you ever match up with someone that you contact and you call them on the phone or whatever, and it feels like, I don't know if I want them at my house, but I'll meet them somewhere? Do you do that sometimes? Or do some people do that?
I don't do that. Other people do
yeah.
frequently.
Because it seems to me like if I lived alone and I was a little unsure of whether I wanted somebody that I didn't know to come to my home, I could go meet at a grocery store or something. Pretty
correct.
Easy. Yeah.
Correct. People will leave things in their mailboxes.
In their own mailboxes?
Yes.
So they don't have to meet them.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Cool. Of course, all the information that you're hearing today on GeekSpeak, we have notes and URLs and all that stuff up on the GeekSpeak website, which you can get to by going to kusp.org. News story?
Yeah, I don't know how this fits in with everything we've been talking about, but it's kind of interesting. Spore, we know about the game Spore.
I like it. I play it.
A lot of kids love this game. Well, it turned out that it's one of the most pirated games right now. After only 10 days into the launch date of the game, 500,000 people had downloaded the game. And during the months after that, another 1 million people obtained a copy. So far, it's been downloaded 1.7 million times.
That game is really cool, and I think
it is.
And actually
yeah.
an interesting learning experience. I'm hoping that they figure out how to make it so that they're getting money from that, because they did do a lot. They did 5 years
of. Well, that was one
game.
Of the big things about Spore, was that it had the digital rights management.
Digital rights
management.
Yeah,
I mean, more draconian than just about any other game.
And it hasn't stopped anybody, apparently.
I don't understand, though, because part of the game system is actually downloading other characters from online. I would assume that if you've got a crack game, that's not going to happen. Aren't you going to have a less of a gaming experience?
EA is saying that not many of those were very successful copies. The downloads didn't work. They were buggy. They contained viruses.
Yeah.
Or... you know, you weren't able to play online with it. But, mm-hmm. you know, the people in the community are saying that's not true. That's like maybe less than 1%.
People can actually play it.
Yeah.
I bought the game. It's not that expensive. It was a pretty fun game. And it's actually a game that I can let my kids play as long as they mm-hmm. don't play.
Yeah, they learn about the evolution.
Although there are a lot of scientists saying that it doesn't quite get the science right.
I mean, part of the problem is that it's actually kind of intelligent design is the problem with the game. It's not really evolution because someone's saying, I want to add more legs. You know, no one actually does that in biology.
The question that no one can really answer, though, is because of all of the DRM, did that lead to it being more pirated than it would have been if there wasn't such draconian DRM? And that's not a question we can really know or test, but
1.7 million copies. Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of
copies. Is it because the game is so cool, or is it because it was a challenge to pirate?
Well, they gave away a model-making tool for free, so yes, you could actually create those things for free. Anybody still can, which is actually interesting.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to your question, but I do know the answer to this question, which is how much do we need to go? We have 3 more minutes, and we have $150 left.
So please call in. And I want to urge the FreeCycle users in Santa Cruz area or anywhere in the world to donate. If you've used FreeCycle before to give something or take something, right now we're increasing the audience pool of people that will actually use FreeCycle, which means there'll be more stuff being reused.
And you know, the geeks can also help with this when you have these FreeCycle shows. What did you call them again?
Free-for-all.
Free-for-alls. We should talk about that on the show. Get people going.
GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. Broadcasting to HD Radio on 88.9 FM, this is Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Otto, on the web at kosp.org. Join Cindy Odom on the Continental Drift today at 1 to 3 p.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP. GeekSpeak on KOSP is supported by Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. The geeks today were Miles Elam, Sean Cleveland, and Ben Jaffe. Thank you.
A pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Lyle Troxell. We're speaking with volunteer extraordinaire in Santa Cruz, Carrie Hallbeck. Carrie, thank you so much for being here today with us.
Thank you for having me.
And do you want to go ahead and tell people that you're using FreeCycle? Please contribute to KOSP?
Yes, please. Most of you know me, and this is a wonderful thing to be able to do. Even if you can just give $2, it gets matched, so it's then $4.
There you go.
So, hey, give what you can.
For GeekSpeak and for KOSP, I'm Lyle Troxell. I'll be gone next week. I'm on Cancun vacationing, yay for me. Miles and Sean and Ryder will take care of the show, and I'm sure it'll be a great one. In fact, it might be better than it normally is. I'll see you in 2 weeks.